We draw near to the Lord. We open his word with an expectation that he'll speak to our hearts. Amen. So greetings to all the PEFC family, particularly. We're keeping each other in our hearts and prayer during the third national lockdown here in England, which serves its challenges for all of us in different ways and in different measures. I was going to do this devotion from home this morning, but I've got my wife who's working from home, my son is doing college, remote learning from home, and my two daughters are doing school from home. So there was no room or place, quiet place available to do it. So here I am in the chapel this morning. To have this time with you. So I know this time is difficult for all of us in different ways, and but God is personal. God is gracious. God ministers to our hearts and encourages us. His Spirit is in us and available to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, to strengthen and comfort us. He is the Comforter. And he is in us and with us this morning. So just shortly, we'll share some verses this morning from the book of Isaiah. and let's have a prayer. So Father, I do just pray for each one this morning, drawing near with a full assurance of faith this morning. Oh Lord, it's wonderful to be in your presence. That wherever we are, we can draw near and be in your house. We thank you that we can be in your house this morning, where your presence is, where you are with us. And we pray you bless these words to our hearts to help and to quicken, to comfort and strengthen. In Jesus' name, amen. The prophet Isaiah, of course, is arguably one of the greatest of the prophets. So much rich prophetic value, and how he frames and speaks of the Messiah, describes the ministry of the Messiah, lays out these prophecies of expectation of the Messiah, and also the book is filled with comfort. Chapters 1 to 39, interestingly enough, 39 typifying the books of the Old Testament, and then 40 to 66, 27 chapters typifying the New Testament. And there's a distinct turning point when he begins chapter 40, which is where he begins to speak about comfort. And the first verse, "Oh, comfort my people." And in the first few verses there, he speaks about a voice crying in the wilderness. And of course, that's how the New Testament opens. So some have said Isaiah is like a mini Bible in that sense, in those few ways that it frames the Old and New Testament. When the New Testament opens, it is a message of great comfort, for he is here. And it starts with John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness. Sorry, that's just an aside, an introduction. But nevertheless, chapter 40 is a turning point. All the way through the book, there's been these predictions and warnings of judgment that would come on Israel, on Judah, and in fact, all the other nations that are mentioned through the book as well. The message is one of accountability and judgment, reaping what you sow, etc. And Isaiah was a prophet who was able to help the southern kingdom prevent them from going into the Assyrian captivity. Nevertheless, he warned that the Babylonians would come and that judgment and that captivity would be sure. So this is really how chapter 39 ends, with this stark warning of the Babylonian captivity. And then it turns with this wonderful message, verse 1, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God." And he assures them, he gives them hope. He wants to strengthen them, to comfort them, to reassure them of the prophecies. Yes, your difficult times are ahead, but nevertheless, You are my people. I have not forsaken you. I hear you. I see you. I care about you. That he would not and could not ever forget or forsake his covenant people. And in this chapter, verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and why do you speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and just my just claim is passed over by God? So with the expectation of this trouble and this judgment that is coming, the people begin to say, God, why are we hidden from you? Why don't you hear us? Why do our just claims, why are they ignored by you? And they're questioning God's promise and God's character. They're saying, where are you, God? You say that you are our people, and here we are facing trouble, and we don't see you anywhere around. How could this happen to us? How could you forget us? Have you forgotten your covenant? Have you forsaken us? And it's we understand that, don't we? In everyday life, in the practical details of life, raising a family, working a job, going through the winter months or a pandemic or health issues or friction in the family, and these mundane down in the trenches dust and dirt of life. And so often we might say, God, where are you? We see this through the Psalms. It was a recurring claim or threat or voice or prayer of the psalmist. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22 verse 1. Why have you forsaken me? Where are you, God? Do you not hear my prayer? Do you not see my plight? We see that in David's Psalms, in David's life when he was on the run from Saul. There were times when he was in great faith, in great assurance. Oh God is my refuge. And there are other times where he was like, God, where are you? It's part of the human experience, the frailty of our experience as Christians. There are times perhaps where we're in great faith and you could not convince me anything else other than that God is with me and for me and present and guiding me. And there are other times where I'm going through a barren time and I don't often sense God the way I would like to. But the psalmist tells us in Psalm 139 in verse 2, David says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Now pause there for a moment. God, the creator of all, the eternal God from eternity past to eternity future, who always was and always is, who is everywhere present, who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, is acquainted with all of your ways. He sees you, he knows you, he hears you, and he cares for you. Simple but powerful truths echoed all through the scriptures, words of great assurance spoken in his word to his people. I am with you. I am for you. I will never, no, never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. I am with you. Psalm 118, verse 6. If the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do to me. Right? All of these promises that God is with us, God is for us. And though we may not always sense it, and our emotions may not be testifying to that at every present time, we are called to faith. And it is by faith we make those confessions. And it is by faith we enter into the experience of that. That in my experience, I can be not sensing God's presence. I can be outside of that experience. But by faith we enter in. Through thanksgiving, through faith, through taking off our shoes, having a quiet time, we enter into his presence and we find that assurance again. We think of Psalm 73, for example, where the psalmist says in the opening verses, he says, oh, my feet were almost gone. I almost slipped. I was almost gone completely. Until in the middle of the psalm, he says, until I came into the sanctuary of the Lord. And then I understood. And at the end of the psalm, he says, oh, it is good for me to draw near to God. Because drawing near to God can often change our perspective. drawing near to God and getting God's mind, God's heart, God's presence as an affirmation to me of who he is and what he has promised can set things aright. And perhaps never such a need in a time like this, in a pandemic where the world seems to be in such despair and craziness and uncertainty. And we might be tempted also in our experience to say, God, where are you in this? Do you hear my prayer? Do you see my needs? And God will come alongside as he does. In fact, paraclete is the Greek word for comforter. It means he who comes alongside to comfort, to strengthen, to speak. And that's what he does for us. It's hard sometimes to imagine that God can be so personal when there are billions of people on the planet, millions of people looking to him, praying to him, seeking him, and yet he can give each one of them his focus, his undivided focus and attention. He can answer our prayers. There are certainly times, though, where he will allow us to have a time where we must walk by faith, where we don't have the luxury and the comfort of the very almost tangible sense of his presence in our lives. And they're the times we are called to walk by faith as no other. We look in the scriptures and we remember that Psalm 56:8 says that he bottles our tears. In Job 31:4, he numbers our steps. In Matthew 10:30, all of the hairs of our head are numbered. Now, that might not mean so much to some of us than to others, but he numbers every hair. He numbers, counts every step. He bottles every tear. He knows my uprising and my downsitting. He knows my thoughts are far off, Psalm 139, verse 2. God knows you. God sees you. God hears you. God loves you. God is for you this morning. God cares for you. Isn't that 1 Peter 5, verse 7? Cast all of your cares upon him, for he what? For he cares for you. Oh, we need to soak in that. We need to bathe in that. We need to park right there. Consider his care for us. Consider how he sees us. And often in the Psalms, the psalmist would counsel himself with these truths. He would be speaking to himself. He'd be praying to God, crying out to God, but also preaching to himself, counseling himself, leading himself in the truth. And we need to do that also. So here in Isaiah 40, where it says, my way is hidden from the Lord. The next verse says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. God knows, God understands. He is not weary, he is not tired, he is not taking a day off. He is God, and he understands and he knows. And we might say, God, is my way hidden from you? And God says, oh no, I see it. For I am God. And not only does it say here that he doesn't faint or get weary, but it tells us that he will strengthen us. Look at verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You ever feel like you need your strength renewed? On Sunday, we did a message of renewed hope for a new year. And here, perhaps, a renewed strength for a new year also. That he renews their strength. Oh, isn't that wonderful? They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So here he encourages them, listen, your way is not hidden from me. I see it, and I am not weary, I am not tired, and also I will quicken you, I will strengthen you. But I ask, wait on me, wait on the Lord, and he will quicken you, he will answer you. And sometimes when we feel he is distant. We need encouragement. Look at staying in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, I am with you. Now, this truth or this promise or this affirmation is perhaps the most powerful, important, personal word that God could speak into anyone's life during any time, any trial or trouble, that I am with you. And he says it to, you know, all the times where there is fear or uncertainty, and with Jacob or Gideon or David or whoever, how God reaffirms that, oh, I am with you, I am with you. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Oh, read that in your Bible this morning and this afternoon and tonight, Isaiah 41:10. That God says, oh, listen, I know there's a lot to listen to, a lot to see out there, a lot that would speak fear into your life, but let me speak this into your life. I am with you, number one. I am your God, number two. I will strengthen you, number three. I will help you, number four. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And there is an I will in that verse for every finger of God's hand, five of them. I will do that for you. He says that he will personally be with you, strengthen you, comfort you. Look at verse 13 in Isaiah 41. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. And this is an expression of great closeness, of his personal care. I am holding your hand. And maybe sometimes you forget that, like a child walking in the mall, and he's taking everything in, he's reaching out and touching things. Well, oh, there's such a security, knowing that his father is holding his hand. And that's what we can say. We are not forsaken. We are not left. He is with us. He is holding our right hand. Chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And of course, the context here, God speaking to his chosen people, Israel, of all that will come in front of them, their challenges, their enemies, the captivity, the great fire of the deportation and the destruction of Jerusalem, and all of that. And God says, listen, I will be with you through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire. And of course, we understand that these promises would echo out to us as believers also. The Bible tells us he is our comforter, our protector. He is the one who strengthens us. That there will be troubled times, but God is with us through them all. And one thing I picked out from this verse late last night when I was rereading it afresh, I noticed this. Pass through. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, when you walk through the fire. It doesn't say that you would stop there or be overwhelmed. In fact, he specifically says, they shall not overwhelm you when you walk through the waters, through the fire. And what does that mean? It means there's the other side. This is a season. We're going to get through it. And while we're passing through it, God is with us. And we will not be consumed or overwhelmed or be burned in that sense. So Isaiah 49, verse 15, we'll finish with this one. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. He has not forgotten Israel, his chosen people. He's not forgotten each one of us who are sealed and positionally found in his Son. He is an ever-loving, ever-present, ever-ready God who sees us, who's holding our hand, who is with us, who says, I am with you, I am for you, I will comfort you, I will strengthen you, oh, wait on me, you will rise up again with great strength and victory. So this is a good word for us, for some of us perhaps this morning, that when we sense that we are in a time of trouble and a bit alone, where we feel that maybe we're in a barren land, and we say, God, what do you? Are you still with us? Are you still there? Do you still hear my prayers and my cry? I feel that you are distant sometimes. And this is a time where we begin to speak in faith, where we must make confessions of faith, where we open the Bible, open the Psalms, read the Psalms, pray with the Psalms, and find yourself strengthened in the faith that God is with us, God is for us. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He sees you. He knows you. He hears you. He loves you, and He is with you. Amen. So, Father, bless and strengthen and quicken these words to our hearts and lives. In this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just a reminder to the local church family, we'll have our regular live stream service Sunday morning. And then in the afternoon at 3:00, we will be having communion. I will lead it probably from here in the chapel, and you would need to get your elements, your own grape juice, fruit of the vine, and then also unleavened bread or crackers. Have that ready. If you don't have that, you need a little communion pack in your local. We can deliver that to you as well. But that's on Sunday at 3:00. So see you twice on Sunday. God bless you.